Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this weekly episode of Flats and Shanks podcast. I'm a very tired Tom Shanklin.
Oh, are you tired, boy? Oh,
I've just been playing touch, haven't I?
Fella.
It's the first bit of like cardio I've done since coming back from Hong Kong, and you know you're bad when you make loads of mistakes. It's not like me. It's not like me. I'm not going to be able to sleep tonight now.
I made mistakes when I was fresh. How's the old Jack D?
Yeah, all right. What's that?
Is it? Your knee.
Ah. No, I didn't do too much, mate. I was jogging around. Did one roundabout pass for a try to Gunners.
Was it? Left Gunners? Who's Gunners?
Ah, he's a lad, isn't he?
Like, is his name like Kai Gunnersbury? And he's like a local plasterer or something. I'm trying to be romantic about it.
I don't actually know, mate. Is the honest answer.
You've taken no interest in him because he's not an international or an ex-pro.
Well, there's loads there, isn't there? Like 81, there's 81 on the group.
Really?
Yeah, Stuart Gunnarsson. I could name him more, mate, but I'm not going to. But
you won't. But you won't. You've got it in
you. I'm not looking forward to the debrief tomorrow.
Cool, yeah. Is it going to be a video nasty for you?
It's going to be a why aren't you jamming in there? Why aren't you covering the inside there? Why are you walking?
Do you get any of this? Do you get any? You play for Wales.
Got lungs like crisp packets at the moment.
there's a club up the hill from me called Old Sulians, and it's a really good old club. And I used to coach every now and again and help out because I'm a great guy. And Jerry, the chef, who was Bath chef, is now Worcester Warriors chef, was also a member at Old Souls, so I go and help for Jerry, you know. And
do it for Jerry.
I joined in like a mauling session once, and I was like, do a bit of line out session or something. And like, we were trying to lift, and these guys, it's just like trying to lift, it's like trying to lift an Atlas stone or just like a massive pudding. They're just like fat bags of crap, these lads, really good lads. All they do is drink and eat McDonald's. And you can't lift them. And they're like, you know, you play for England. And they kept giving me loads of grief because we just basically couldn't get this guy in the air. And I waited, sort of, you know, thought I'd bide my time here. And when we started mauling, I slipped the watch off, got in amongst it, and snapped a few souls.
Oh, did you? A couple of them writing egos their body couldn't cash, were they?
Yeah, big prop there. Like, and he was, we were pre-season, right? So I forget his name now, but he was a right gobshite. And he turned up
Jason
in
Leonard.
He turned up in like a sort of Cavalier SRI with a big big cherry exhaust that looks like an elephant's phallus. And it was just ridiculous. And he gobshite. And he was second team. He was big and fat and couldn't move. So we did a lot of running. And I said, look, you're going to be running today, mate. He's like, oh, right. So you doing it? I said, I'll do it with you if you want, mate. I was in pre-season. I'd done a day's pre-season. I was like, I'll do it with you. I mean, I wasn't good at running, as you know, but it was a light jog and he was dying on his arse. So fair enough. But he's a right gobshite. So we're standing up by the side of in between like drills. He's like, do you know what? For a professional, you are tiny. you are absolutely tiny. I thought you'd be bigger. Didn't you think you'd be bigger, lads? You are tiny. And he was on a bit of a step. So he's about the same height as me. So he's on a step slightly higher. And I said, how much do you weigh? He's twice the size of me, this guy. Like, he's enormous. And I was like, how much do you weigh? And he's like, about 19. I was like, all right, well, I'm 19 and a half of this and you're 19 of butter. I said, I'm half the size of you and I'm heavier. And I said, mate, you're made up of butter and bacon fat. So he was gobbing off a bit. And I said, I'd rather be 19 stone of this than 20 stone of that, mate. And we got mauling and he was just coming in the side. So I just quietly went around the side and I just put him up. All I did was I just put him up on my back, put him up on my shoulders, got him off the ground, one hand between his legs, lift him up in the air, and then just kept mauling with my other arm. So we just marched him over, and it was a feat of strength that any professional player could have accomplished. But it proved my point. And when we got to the end, I just body slammed him like the ultimate warrior.
I have that.
Beating up amateurs.
I can't top that story. It's just a game of touch. And it was hard.
All right, so I win.
Sitting here now with ice on my leg. Got the ice and easy. Had it for years and years. Comes in really handy now.
David Campese's ice and easy.
That's the one.
I always thought
they're so good. They're like I think it's got like Müller. I think it's got no. Yeah, it's got
yeah
Müller on it.
Müller. So it's not a David Campese ice and easy.
Oh, I don't know. They're all the same, aren't they?
Yeah, but I always wondered. I mean, I always assumed that Campese, because he's Campo and because he's got David Campese ice and easy, that he will have made it large off that. But I don't think that's the case because he's still
gigging. Doing bits. He's still gigging. He's still gigging. He's always in Hong Kong, gigging away. He's always doing
I just had a pork belly for four.
Yeah, I've just seen it actually on social media.
How's that for four though?
It looked delicious, is what I'm going to tell you.
Honestly, boy.
And I'm so proud of you, mate, for putting greens in. Because
thanks, mate.
I worry sometimes that you're just...
Cavilling, yeah. No, I do eat a lot of vegetables.
Your colon is just going to explode one day.
I had an MOT last summer.
Did you?
Yeah, cholesterol, everything is fine.
Do it yourself, did you?
Yeah, I'd look in the mirror and lob a bit off there. Oh, hold otherwise,
on. Everything is fine.
My cholesterol is fine.
That's a big statement.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, what are the other ones?
You're the ultimate human being.
No, I'm fine. I'm absolutely fine. And I was like, but I'm 6 foot and I'm 20 stone.
What about that?
Surely yeah. I'm struggling. And he was like, well, you're not. You're fine. Your heart rate, your resting heart rate's good. Your blood pressure's good.
And
this is good.
Skin tags aren't a worry.
Skin tags are not a worry.
No, all right. Oh, fine.
I mentioned Ruta on the pod last week and he loved it. He's a weirdo, but he's got a skin tag on his eye and he's tied a bit of thread around it on his own. I was with him the other day at a trampoline park and no kids, just us. And he goes, when did you put it on? Last night, it will fall off any time now. Fall off today. I was like, no way, mate. No way. That'll take days. And it looked like he had a big tick on his eye.
Mm.
Weirdest thing, mind.
My dad had one of them. It was like, you know, like when you get a burger from McDonald's, it was like a sesame seed on his eye for years and years. And
yeah.
Eventually got it removed, but it took like 10 years. A bit like Matt Perry, and he had a little thing on his nose, didn't he, for years?
Rudolph.
And Bubs had the nudger for quite a few.
Bubs had the nudger, yeah.
He went for a hernia op. It's gone now. Nothing sticks out of his top.
Has Pez got rid of his Rudolph on his nose?
Yeah, I think so. When I saw him last, you can't miss it. And I'm sure
he started having to buy two tickets for the train, didn't he?
Yeah, I mean it was, you know, when you got something so prominent on your face that no matter where you look, you can't stop looking at that. It's like someone with a lazy eye or a dodgy eye.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, a bonk eye.
You
just can't stop staring at it. So, I'm pretty sure he's got removed. I mean, if I could ever get anything like that, mate, and I'm not aware of it, can you tell me?
Yeah, of course I will. I had a cyst on my arm, like I was about 15. And I've always loved cutting and picking and removing and jabbing and popping and that sort of stuff. And I was like, can I get it cut out? Can I get it cut out? I just got stamped on in a game.
Yeah.
And it got infected and it never went. And it ended up with this lump in my arm. And I was like, can I get it cut out? And I basically would only do it if the doctor would let me watch. And I still remember to this day. It was great.
Sicko. I cut my head once in a game chasing a box kick. And it was a rubbish box kick. from Ryan Powell. And I go at him after. And I ended up getting on someone's knee. And I split my head. Anyway, I had a few stitches internally and a few outside. A big old cut. It looked like, that's why I look like Voldemort now, because I've got the scar. Like, it was
the only reason.
Yeah. And I got so much delight because it wouldn't heal. One little bit wouldn't heal for ages. Yeah. And I had a little dig around inside it with a pair of tweezers. All of a sudden, I got hold of a stitch and just pulled it.
Yes.
A long stitch come out. And then it was fine.
Yes.
It was yes. one of the most satisfying things ever.
Oh, I love that. I love that. I had a bit of stitch that took ages to work its way out of my Achilles. I love that. I used to take all my own stitches out, because if I had stitches in my eye, or because when you're in the front five, you're cut in the pack, you're constantly getting stitches.
Yeah.
So I used to take all of my own stitches out, and I loved it. I had a little kit, a little razor blade and everything. I love it. But then I took my sister's out. She had an op, took my sister's out. Took everyone's out, mate. I realise now I never sterilised that razor blade, but
I got really nervous when I had to do my own like blood. I just pricked the skin with a take some blood.
Oh, really?
For a tolerance test. And I got really nervous. I was like, I'm to one, two. But I did it, but anyway.
Well, do you know what I was thinking of the other day? I don't know who mentioned it, but there was one time at band camp in it was like mid season at Bath or pre season, I can't remember. Mm-hmm. But we all had a team night out on let's call it a Sunday night or Saturday night. And the next morning we had pool recovery, and it was like, lads, you can go out, get battered, no problem. All the coaches come out with us, but you've all got to be there at 9:30 tomorrow morning to do your pool recovery. That, you know, even if you go straight through, turn up, you know?
Mm.
So we all went home, didn't we? We had a decent night of it and went pretty hard. And the next day, this is going to sound awful to people listening, but this is, I'm not saying it was a different time, it's just we didn't really think about it. So we got what a game at 1 or 2 or whatever, woke up in the morning, a few hours kit, woke up, drove up to the pool, and our fitness coach just had a load of breathalyzers in there.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, just as a bit of a wake-up call, everyone take this. And it was like, oh my God. And it was like, in the end, we're like, this is completely obvious. Of course we're over the limit. So we all taxied back down and got our cars later that day. Anyway, they had a load of spare breathalyzers. So a load of us took one. And I remember having this conversation with somebody a while later after that. And the night before, I'd been to a neighbor's house, like an old lady neighbor's house, for dinner and dinner party. And it's like, to be honest, I didn't really want to go, but I had a couple of glasses of wine. So I'd have had four glasses of red wine, I reckon, maybe a beer, but probably not.
Mental.
And I wouldn't have had a drink after 10, half 10. And the next morning, before I went to training, as a joke, I breathalyzed myself and I was over the limit. And this is like 8 in the morning or something.
No.
Over the limit, boy.
Wow.
I was like, no way. So I did it again, over the limit. So I had to taxi it in. I'm just saying, be careful out there. Yeah,
guys, drink responsibly. Always said that. I've had a busy week, boy. I know you're about to ask. I went over to...
What have we been up to, mate?
I went over to Ireland to do the Pro 14 show. So,
fella.
Colm Stafford of Premier Sport, met up with him.
Mm-hmm.
Went for a bit of food before, a couple of beers after.
Did you?
Yeah, that was Wednesday.
Abernet large, was it?
Then on, mental large. Friday, I went up to I went up to Penarth Rugby Club because Penarth Youth were playing Bath Youth. Yeah, it was at the rugby club, and Penarth won.
Did our boys do it? No, you won.
Yeah, we won.
Well, you're rougher at young age, aren't you, the Welsh?
Mate, you're talking about Penarth now.
Mate, when you play for an English school, England schools, you play against Wales schools under 18, like, oh my God, these are 35-year-old scaffolders, mate.
They kick out on the full, don't they? So they can have a scrum and have
a 35, they're all 35-year-old scaffolders.
But enjoyed that. Yeah. That was down. Saturday, I did three tours of the Principality Stadium.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So
I saw that. You're the new John Terry, aren't you?
the three, about an hour 40, because I couldn't stop talking, couldn't stop telling stories about some of the history of the stadium and some of the things that have gone on.
Cool, yeah. Not enough.
But it was an enjoyable day. It was good to get back there. and explaining why we changed changing rooms from, because we initially started off in a different changing room, and then when Warren Gatland came in,
but you're not doing a tour now, but okay, yeah,
we swapped over. The Six Nations and the Triple Crown were there as well for people to have photos with. It was a glorious day.
Lovely.
That was really nice, actually. Hugh was the tour guide, and I was like, I was just
who?
I was the entertainment. But enjoyed it. Great to be back at the home of rugby.
You call it that.
Yeah,
the home of Welsh rugby. Yeah,
and, if you want. And that's it, really, mate. Nothing really else interesting to
well
talk
done, fella.
About. Apart from the rugby, but what you been doing?
Oh, you never ask. So. Well, not a huge amount, actually, to be honest. Just luckily coincided that the last 4 or 5 days I've had off, and so have the kids, because it's Easter holidays, isn't it? So we had with my older daughter, we had a hot air balloon trip over Bath booked for Wednesday, and they don't tell you until last minute whether it's on or not.
Yeah, because of weather, yeah?
Yeah. So they were all on the day before. They were all on the day after. Sadly, ours got cancelled. So we got to rearrange that, which is a bit of a shame. But we had a good time anyway. And we went adventures with the dogs and all that sort of stuff. But on Thursday, I activated my younger daughter's main Christmas present from Big Papa, which was a daddy day, but doing all the stuff she likes. So we went on a treasure. We found a map in a field, which is actually an old cardboard box. And we go on a mission where she leads the way and she's the tour guide and we're trying to find the treasure, that sort of stuff. You know what it's like, mate. Did a bit of that. Then we went to my mate Router, as I told you. We had a bit of pizza in town. Weirdly, that is really weird. I've just looked at my phone, looking at my diary. Router has just texted me as I said that. No jokes. So we had a pizza. We went trampolining in Bath. And then we went and checked into the Apex Hotel in town. So she loves hotels. So we stayed in a hotel 0.7 miles from my house, and actually less than that. And what are you eating? Are you eating something?
No, sorry. I was just trying to take off my ice pack from my
neck. God, don't stop, does it? 20 minutes every 2 hours. Okay.
No, it's really hurting now. So I put it on too tight.
So old Phil Apex, but Ladley Wiggins on Instagram, instead of just us having a room, he sorted us out a really nice corner room, which was wicked. So then my little girl didn't want to go without my big girl. So three of us went and we did night swimming, morning swimming, buffet breakfast, late nights, movies. And we also went to this place called the Tivoli Cinema in Bath, which is one of these, you know, it's got super comfy sofas and they bring your chicken burgers and your Diet Cokes to your, not that they have Diet Cokes, they're not allowed, but they're water. To your seat, bring all your puddings and coffees to your seats and stuff. And we went to watch Dumbo, which was really good. So it's very, very, you know, one of those, a nice wholesome day, Tommy. Oh. And then Matt Salter, who was the Bristol rugby captain for a long time and now works at Clifton College and Clifton Rugby Club, we went over to Salt's place in Bristol for an Easter egg hunt and a bit of lunch on Friday. Then I went Friday, dropped the kids at home, straight on the M4 up to Gatwick, stayed at Gatwick in the whatever it is, you know, the Gatwick Mercure or Sofitel overnight, and got the red eye out to Bordeaux, drove down to La Rochelle, did the La Rochelle game. Yeah. And then made the journey back was a piece of cake / horrendous. Had to stay overnight. Yeah. It wasn't horrendous, like there was no delays. It was just like, got to bed at 12:30, alarm set for 5, which is really 4 because you're in France.
Yeah.
Just felt rank, really. But that's the game, isn't it, boy? Yeah. Anyway, there you are, mate. That'll do it. And
that's it.
A bit of Easter stuff and some bit of chockey, mate. Yeah?
Can't beat it, can you?
So enough for you now. Hey, before we move on to real business, you and I, like, unbeknownst to our listeners, you and I had a bit of a mass debate, didn't we, over... with regards with Wayne Barnes, with Danielle Waterman, and with Michelle, our agent, over WhatsApp, with regards Line of Duty, didn't we?
Yeah, a little bit.
So
you just didn't like one scene in it, and you were very aggressive in getting your opinion across that you don't really like Line of Duty. It's not as good as everyone makes out. and that some of the acting is really poor.
It's not what I said. I like Line of Duty. I have not missed an episode. I love it. Mm. However, I do not think it is primo TV. I think there are bits in it that are not as good as the very best shows. That's what I'm saying.
Okay. You didn't like... Can you just elaborate on the one scene that you got your knickers in a twist about?
Well, so Stephen Graham, our lad, Lurky, he's the double agent. So he's the inside man. And they're in a room planning their next heist. And Steve, what is it? DC Arnott, is it DC? Yeah. Steve Arnott rings him and he sees it pop up and she's like, I'm going to get that. And the woman says to him, you're going to get that? And he goes, yeah, you know what it's like. I've got some bird at home. She's gagging for it or something.
Yeah.
And he picks up the phone and he's like, all right, love, yeah, what you wearing? And no one's ever picked up the phone and said, all right, love, what you wearing? He's one of the greatest actors ever. He's one of my absolute favourites. But he's just reading a script there. And it's like, no one picks the phone up and says, oh, what you wearing?
You don't know who's got on the other line. You might have someone that is addicted to sex or someone that likes to be talked like that.
I know that.
There'll be women in this world that wouldn't mind that conversation.
I know, it just didn't seem very realistic to me.
Found one of them.
I didn't think it was
right. And then you won't let anybody badmouth Game of Thrones.
But the big Eastern European, like, mute, yeah. I thought he was, his character suddenly came into it and knew it was going to be significant. But I was like, he had a few lines and it was like, no, it doesn't really work that.
I mean, the big news is that maybe they'll find Jackie from Series 1 that was cut up and put in the freezer.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember Jackie Laverty, I think it was.
Wow, good memory.
Yeah, thanks.
I don't remember. I'm just guessing you're right. But Game of Thrones.
Okay.
Mate.
All right. So what do you think about the scene when they rode the dragons and it was like really awkward kiss in front of the dragon? I thought that wasn't the greatest scene I've ever. But
I agree.
But it doesn't really bother me.
You're saying
I have to voice an opinion. And
we were asking you're saying I won't ever word against Game of Thrones.
We didn't ask you what scene you didn't like. You just said
what do you reckon of Game of Thrones then? And I think the first two episodes, I mean, I'm gripped and I'm addicted. I don't think they've been particularly great. They haven't been brilliant. And I went on Twitter and I was like, I'm really gutted about that first one because I'm glad I've watched it, but I thought it was a bit slow that. I went on Twitter and everyone is like, what a crap episode. What a disappointment.
Yeah. Everyone is.
Well, Big Tom Davis said he wasn't that keen, so I was like, me too.
Oh, it was a bit of a slow one, but mate, it's building.
I know, and I'm pumped. I'm properly pumped. Yeah. So don't get me wrong. Did you watch The Victim on BBC? Did you watch that?
What series about me? No, I haven't. Is that good?
Yeah, it's quite good actually.
I'm laughing. If I had a choice now, and I love both series, Game of Thrones and Line of Duty, I would watch Line of Duty. If I had a choice of watch an episode early.
Shut up.
Yeah, I would.
Shut up.
I would.
Shut up.
Mm-hmm.
Shut up. You're right to go, mate.
Yeah, but two great series at the moment. But let's be honest, though. Line of Duty, BBC, we're not talking Warner Brothers. You're not talking Universal. It's on a BBC budget.
Well, it's made by a production company that's owned, I think, as majority owners, ITV, actually, by the way. But anyway. Okay.
But I'm basically talking about budgets now. I'm speculating now, but I'd imagine that.
Yes, agreed.
It'd be on a shoestring budget.
Agreed. But, that never hindered Morse, did it?
Yeah, but there was some bad acting in Morse.
I never thought Lewis was the best, but yeah.
Yeah, let's not slag everyone.
I tell you what I thought, looking back, was the one series that gripped me hard when I was probably too young to watch it. Yeah. Okay. Was Cracker.
Oh, I loved it. Robbie Coltrane.
Oh, mate, fella.
Oh, I loved it.
The best thing about Line of Duty is that Hastings is bringing back the word fella along with you and me.
I love it. I love it. I just hope he's not H. It's too obvious, mate. It's too obvious.
Of course he's not.
They're too clever.
Here's a deal now. If it's Hastings is the googie egg, I will do the podcast that week, nude.
I've just sent you a video of an egg, actually. I hope you get it. I've put it on the group with Michelle.
Right.
Anyway, let's round it off there. Should we have a really short break?
Yeah, why not?
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Flats, just before we get into the thick of things, what we've been up to, this Heineken Cup, loads of questions. We just have to make people aware of the live walkabout gig that we're doing. Wales v England, match day in the morning. You can get tickets online. It is going to be the 17th of August. We're going to start around, I'd say, about 10 o'clock. So perfect for a bit of pre-match entertainment. We've got a live guest coming. Of course he's going to be live. I don't know why I said live, but we have a guest coming.
Not be dead, is he?
No, hopefully not. Mind you, if he was, who would you like?
Got to be Bob Marley, innit?
Yeah, it's a good call, actually.
Got to be Bob Marley. Can't think of a better one, can you?
Freddie?
Mercury?
Mm.
Yeah, but we wouldn't get a word in, fella. And it's our show, isn't it?
Yeah, okay.
With Bob would just be chilled and then do a couple of songs, you know?
Okay, so all right. Hopefully we've got Bob Marley coming. If not, we'll have another legend. It was really good last time we did it. Wales, England, and Wales won. But get on the website, follow us on Twitter, Facebook. All the information's there. It's going to kick off. Let's be honest.
We it would be better if we could say who our guest is going to be. That would really help. But we are just finalising something at the moment, which is a little bit tricky, but I think either way, we should hereby commit to knowing by next week.
It's going to be a mentalist, let's be honest. If it's a mate of mine, they're all crazy.
They're all blimmin' mad. You know what I'm, they're absolutely, you know, blimmin' mad.
Yeah, so make sure you follow. And please come along. I'm begging you. I've got kids, anyway.
I had my car valeted today. And I couldn't get the normal guy to do it. So I went into town and got absolutely ripped off because I had no real option, and I was in such a rush that when I got there to pick it up, I saw they'd done a really crap job and couldn't do anything about it.
Okay.
Annoying, isn't it?
Yeah.
£29 to have your car done in and out in Bath. I mean, mind you, there's a queue.
That's a lot. This is a joke.
Edit that bit out. That's good stuff.
Yeah, okay. Don't get your car clean in a bath. There we are.
I'm just trying to be real people, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Just trying to relate to real people.
You are.
Pay £30 to have a Range Rover cleaned. What a knob.
Right. Champions Cup. I mean, do you want to start on the Challenge Cup? Because, you know, that's where you were.
But apart from that, my game, I like Mike Brown's try with a handoff.
Yeah.
At Claremont. Yeah. I like that.
I mean, it was on Penaud as well, who had a really good game.
Yep.
I mean, how difficult is it to, say, build a team around a winger? It's quite difficult, isn't it?
Yes.
But he's superb.
He is exceptional, isn't he?
He's brilliant. I mean, it is difficult to build a team around a winger because the wingers don't tend to get that much ball. Certain games, it's on a plate for you. But, you know, other games when weather's poor, it's just hard to build a team around. But he's by far their best player.
But I wonder if...
What's going on, mate, with socks down now? Why is everyone wearing socks down? I told you I was at this Penarth Youth versus Bath Youth, and most of them had their socks down. And I counted 10 of the Penarth players in headgear out of 15.
Yeah, that's a real thing. The socks down, I don't really know. The headgear is a real thing now. And, I mean, I genuinely don't know whether it makes it safer or not. I used to hear a lot that it didn't, but it makes people feel more confident. Don't know if that's good or bad. But when I've been to kids' tournaments and coached kids and stuff, quite often I would say a lot of it comes from the parents. It makes the parents feel better that their little boy or girl's wearing a hat. And I think, well, fair enough.
Yeah.
Can't do any harm, can it?
Anyway, let's talk about the angle by Fritz Lee. Delicious, wasn't it?
Let's talk about that.
Yeah. Out to win. Difficult to pick up, especially with fast ball. Really good clean out.
And he's not just a banger, is he?
No, he's not just a banger. It was really well timed. It was a really good game. I really enjoyed it.
And the atmosphere. I mean, it's the only place I think that beats La Rochelle for atmosphere.
Yeah.
In Europe.
Yeah.
La Rochelle is bumping, but the Marcel Michelin is just...
Yeah.
I say that. I've never been there. I've been there. No, I've never been to a game there.
But I've watched it, and you get to see a lot of the game on the TV, and it just... All you want to do, mate, as a player, is play in front of a packed stadium, don't you? You just feed off that. Quinn's really unlucky. Dom Bratt just had his toenails in touch, didn't he? Throwing the ball inside.
Oh.
Really good game, though. Did really enjoy it.
Yeah, it was brilliant. And both teams gave it a proper lash. And it was properly intense. And it
Who left it?
Our kid, wasn't it?
Nige.
No, Nige was at La Rochelle.
Nige
was
at La Rochelle.
Mate, fella.
Yeah, let's crack onto that.
I actually, you can do it if you want. I was thinking, if I had Nigel Owen's phone number, which I don't, I was going to text him on Saturday night and say, might that be the most difficult game you've ever refereed? I mean, it was just absolute chaos. At one point, Nigel Owen's blew up and he just said, guys, there are bodies everywhere. I just don't know where the ball is or what's going on. We're just going to start again from a scrum.
That was right at the end. He thought the ball had gone forward and it hadn't. So he gave Sale another scrum.
But did you hear him giving his officiating team a pep talk?
Yeah.
I mean, I've never heard that before.
No, I don't know.
Everyone stay calm. Stay calm. Stay in control. Focus on the now. Focus on what's in front of you. Let it come to us. You know, it was like, because it was carnage.
It was.
I mean, impossible to referee that in, you know, anywhere near full accuracy, I think. And there were some decisions, you know, the decisions I disagree with. I tell you what, this may or may not be interesting to you or anybody else, but there was one decision where Denny Solomona looked like he'd saved a try, or had he scored, the fella scored. In the end, it went from being a TMO to see if it had been put down and he was in touch to actually a penalty try, Denny Solomona's high tackle, right?
Yeah.
And I think it was that decision, but I saw it straight away. And I don't hedge my bets, but I don't just pile in with that is a try or that's not. I think, well, I don't feel the pressure to do that. So as a co-coms, I will wait. And if I need to see a different angle, I'll wait. I don't mind. No pressure, but I was confident. And I said, that's definitely that. And then when Denny Solomon, they said, actually, we're looking at the high tackle. I was like, ooh, that is a dipping player. But I think, actually, that's so I basically went completely one way, then completely the other. And I don't mind that. I was like, I was completely wrong. That's the right decision. Well done, Nige.
Right,
I've got no problem with that. Sorry?
Do people mind that?
No one did. I spoke to one of the big dogs from BT Sport today, just a quick catch up, really. He texted me about something and I just said, look, have you got 2 minutes? And I called him and said, just look, do you mind that? As the boss, do you mind that? Because by the way, as a co-coms, I don't mind doing that. I don't normally do that. And he said, look, you've got guys like Austin who will pile straight in and say, bang, this is my opinion on one angle. Then you've got guys like Ben who'll wait a bit and say, I'll just give, you know, who does. So Ben will have to do fewer U-turns. Equally, Austin's great value for a punchy opinion sort of thing. And he's very often right. But he said, we don't mind that at all. If you don't, as long as you don't yo-yo on every decision, we don't mind at all you being absolutely adamant that you're right, being proved wrong and laughing about it. We don't mind at all.
There was one angle that showed Denny Solomona just going too high, basically. And it was, I find it really difficult because when players dip and, you know, you're dipping as well, but yet there's still contact. That's my bugbear. When a player's not dipping, you go high, you know, they deserve it. But when two players are going down low and you catch them high, that's when it becomes, I think, unclear and quite grey. With the laws being as they are and from what we've seen recently over this last year, I mean, that had to be a penalty try.
Yep.
But you're right, though. It was one angle that really showed it. I mean, we were looking at different things to start with. So you're not concentrating on where his arm is. You're concentrating on whether he stayed in touch.
Yeah.
And then when we find out he's in touch, then you start looking at, actually, you know, that arm is wrapped around his neck. So, I mean, I thought it was a great tri-seven tackle at the moment because he's a big lump, Solomona.
He is. And there are times when Solomona really collides hard and there are times when he doesn't always seem to want to.
Mm.
But I tell you what, whenever you watch him live, and I've watched him obviously live a lot, he's a nightmare runner. He's that nightmare runner you played against when you were 12.
But he's fast as well, though.
He's rapid and he's elusive and he's flat out in about four strides. You know, he's hard work. And Ashton and Solomona together with Marlon Yard coming back, you know, there's some proper firepower up there. And if you got Sam James at 13, I tell you what, the weak link, there's a couple of weak links, not weak links in the Sale team, but if they want to go to the next level, they need some more players. And one player I think doesn't quite make the grade is James O'Connor. I genuinely think he isn't.
I mean,
just doesn't look good enough to me, or quick enough, I'm being honest.
But then you look at some of the highlights when he's playing for Australia and, you know, he can play. He used to be amazing, but then it's just like the want for it now, isn't it? Maybe, you know. He's playing 12. Yeah, you know, I always thought he was a back three. I thought he was a winger or a 15. But
he doesn't look quick enough to be back three. Mm. But he seemed... Yeah. Twice he got the ball and he went for a really aggressive...
Scene, didn't he?
Yeah, but he went for really aggressive outside arcs and just got caught and bundled into touch effectively. And not that quick, not that difficult to catch. And it's almost like he's not aware that he's not as fast as he was or something.
When I was first started playing at London Welsh, there was a guy called Andy Currier. Now, he was I think he might have played for Widnes.
The Postman, was that his nickname?
Yeah. In the centre. And he was rugby league, played for Great Britain. But he was a massive bloke as well. But he could run that outside arc like nobody. Not nobody.
Really?
Honestly, he was phenomenal. A few of you listeners might have heard of him, might remember him. But he spent a couple of seasons at London Welsh. And he was only really good at going from, I think, left to right. Because he'd always play on the right side of the field in rugby league. But, mate, honestly, that just...
The opposite of Key Senior.
Yeah, it's... Obviously, you need to be quick, but it's also time and it's also footwork, you know, because you've got to effectively stand someone up first before you take that arc. So you can go around the outside of someone, even though you're slower. You just have to make sure you use your footwork and try and get the defender to lose momentum when you're gone. But anyway, La Rochelle won. Can we talk about the Saracens Munster game, the big one?
Yeah.
You sort of knew that was coming. You know, you lose Joey Carberry. Big loss.
Keith Earls.
Yeah, massive loss as
Creative
well.
Creative threat, cutting edge, gone.
You got Blaine Dahl at 10, who played pretty well, but he's no way as an attacking threat as Carberry.
He's not a Sunday Carberry, is he?
No. No. But, you know, you still had Chris Fowler, you still had Scanlon in the centres, Murray at 9, Conway on the wing, who's been brilliant, Peter Romani, stand-up, but...
They weren't in the same league.
They were sarried.
That was a 40-0 performance, that.
And it was...
It's so dominant.
It was. But, you know, half-time 12-9, so Munster still in it, but it was... It was the Saracens show in the second half. They just basically grinded Munster right out. And
yeah,
Rhodes hit a lovely line, a bit like Fritz. I mean, what you got there is you got two runners. Normally, that's a one-man job hitting those out-to-in angles, isn't it? You normally get like a centre or a back row or an eight just hiding, waiting, and then he'll come from nowhere. But you had another man outside Rhodes as well, so it was real difficult. But I think it was Spencer hit him. Great vision. Great vision. Liam Williams, phenomenal again.
Oh,
you just know when that ball goes in the air, he's just going to climb above everyone.
Is he as good as Israel Folau in the air? He's better on Instagram, but is he good in the air?
Yeah, he is. I agree. But he's just not as tall. So if you've got a guy who's probably 6 foot and a guy who's 6'4" or 6'5" in the air, then there's really going to be one winner. Just on Israel Folau, we didn't touch on it last week.
And Andrew Cottle, people kept asking why. I know he asked me as well.
He's really upset.
We forgot.
Yeah.
We actually did forget. I've got a present for you from Andrew Cotter, by the way.
Okay.
You can when I see you, you can put it on social media or something, because it's pathetic.
Okay. Is it some dog hair or something?
No, it's a present from the Masters.
Okay. Nice. Oh, lovely. Thanks, Andrew.
Tiger's sign jockstrap or something.
Yeah. What did you make of the Folau tweet?
I just think it's hugely, hugely misguided. And apart from anything else, the beliefs, there's no point in you or me voicing our opinions on the beliefs. They believe something and we don't. Yeah. I think a couple of things to me that are relevant are, talk about modern society. I'm not defending Israel Folau, by the way, but in terms of the beliefs, talk about, well, it's 2019 and we don't do that stuff. You and I come from a different place. We don't come from the South Sea Islands where, you know, generations ago, we effectively arrived and forced them to believe what they now believe. We then buggered off and advanced hugely, and they sort of didn't advance at the same rate as us. And what we implemented there remains. So it's kind of, you know, there is a bit of responsibility there, but you should be bright enough to know not to put that out there.
In this day, you know, he's in a world of social media. He's in the 21st century now, mate. He knows. But
yeah, I know he knows, but in terms of the belief, that's why there's no point saying you shouldn't believe that, because people believe what they want. But for me, the actual crux of it is, this is stupid. Like, he's been unbelievably stupid.
Yeah, but that's
and, again,
is he not bright enough to realize that whatever he believes, if he puts something like that with all the followers, they're just going to pick up on it straight away. And he knows there's going to be a backlash. And it's just prehistoric it's prehistoric beliefs, isn't it? And it's also, mate, it's all from when you're young as well, because, you know, you're a sponge when you're young, aren't you? You just listen to your parents. And, you know, if you're that way inclined, you have those beliefs, you know, it's going to sink in. And, you know, you listen to your parents when you're young, you're like, right, don't touch that. It's fire. You burn yourself. So kids don't touch it, or don't jump in that water, you drown. So, you know, you're listening to your mum or dad or elders. You know, don't touch that snake, it's poisonous, you don't do it. And, oh, by the way, if you're homosexual, you're going to go to hell. So, you know, that's what's going to happen when you have these beliefs from such a young age.
It's also worth remembering that they think we are equally ridiculous for not believing it. So,
oh, well, okay, apart from... Billy Vanapola's reply.
But it's the same sort of thing. It's just, for me, it's just, I've never met Israel Folau, probably never will, so I won't comment on him. But both of them have sent something out, which is like, guys, this is optionally putting your beliefs out there, optionally. So let's just say, I'm not the brightest bloke in the world. I'm also absolutely not racist. Say I was racist. It's like me opting to put out, to all my followers, a racist post on Instagram. It's so stupid. Like, how stupid do you have to be to do that now? Anyway, because it's just going to cut. It's just awful PR. But that's part of it. The other side of it is that what really gets to it for me is, imagine being a young gay rugby player going to a new club for the first time. Imagine being that guy. Imagine being a young gay rugby player going to the Saracens Academy and walking into the same room as Billy Vulapola. Billy is, by the way, and I'm not, don't come at me on social media. I know Billy well enough to know that he is hugely kind, he is hugely loving, and he's a lovely man and all that. However, these beliefs are not kind. They are not gentle. They're not generous. They're not loving. So he is a lovely man who has some beliefs that a lot of people find oppressive and damaging and dangerous. So if you put those out there, I think you're in a position of responsibility not to do that. And I think it was, apart from anything else, I don't think it was evil on Billy's part, not at all. I don't think anyone does. I think it was just really, really ill-judged and
Imagine being his agent. Imagine being his agent, just pulling out your hair. But it was...
It's pointless. Hell awaits
you for drunks, homosexuals, adulterers, liars, fornicators, thieves, atheists.
But, you know...
But, if I'm an atheist, well, I don't even believe in hell, so...
Exactly, yeah. But, it's all a load of, it's all a load of balls anyway, isn't it, if we're honest? Mm. But... It, my God's best, you know. No, mine is. Anyway, there was also quite a lot of chat about BT Sport not covering it properly at the weekend, and being too sympathetic to Billy Vunipola. It's funny. I watched it, and I just didn't. I'm biased, so I declare an interest. Everyone knows, but I just didn't get that. I didn't get it. But I think. Do you want us? I wasn't there. Do you want the TV company to go on air and hammer him?
He did front up for an interview.
But I think overall it was just really ill-judged because, you know what, it's not just Billy and Israel Folau that have got these views. There are other people who we love to watch in the Premier League.
You've got a Sassy Islands. They probably all got the same views. So.
Well, there'll be someone in the Tottenham team that thinks like that. There'll be someone in the Arsenal team. You know. But they just know enough not to go and tell everyone and to make huge numbers of people who already potentially are in a horrible place, feeling hugely vulnerable and oppressed and scared and embarrassed and ill or whatever, feel even worse. It's like, you don't do that.
It's
why
based
do
on
that?
Religion as well, mate.
Yeah, which, you know, scary. But then religion is something that it's not my kettle of peanuts, but it's one of those things that it does actually bring faith and peace and joy to zillions and zillions and many people who live peacefully, don't hurt anyone, don't hate anyone. It gives them direction and faith and belief and purpose. And I think, well, for the vast majority of religious people I've ever met, their religion is a wonderful thing. I mean, I don't believe it. I don't believe any of it. But I love the fact that they do, and it's lovely for them. But it's when something that I believe to be effectively nonsense is used to, you know, call people sinners who haven't made a choice at all, just living as themselves. Why would anyone have to live as anyone but themselves is bloody horrible, you know? So if a religion's telling you to do that, I'm not into it.
Anyway, Vunipola, man of the match, scores a try as well.
He was blooming good, mind.
Yeah, he was really good. I mean, they were all good. It was a classy Sarri's performance. Like Gouda at 15 as well.
Yeah.
You know, you just look at him and you think, has that guy not got 50 caps? Because
I know.
I think it's taken too long for people to realise, and possibly didn't take his chances when he was capped. But for me, mate, there's just a huge difference between him and Mike Brown. Huge.
But then...
They're different players. I totally agree. One is unbelievably solid at 15 and really brave and possibly better under the high ball, but the other is just a talent that doesn't come around very often, and you've got to make the most of it. Saracens have, England haven't.
I used to say, or think rather, that the reason he didn't get in the England team was because Eddie Jones wanted a guy's basics were just rock solid at the back because he had a playmaker at 10 and a playmaker at 12, but not like the Sarri's model where the playmakers are 10 and 15 a lot of the time. But so he didn't need that. He wanted a Mike Brown figure, like a Matt Perry figure. But actually now he's not picking Mike Brown either, so he's picking Elliot Daly.
Mm.
And you think, well, he's just trying to cram the best players in the team. But yeah, I mean, it's a question that will be asked to him every time he does a Q&A for the next 50 years. What did you do to offend Eddie? You know?
Yeah. Leinster to lose then on the Sunday. And pretty convincing win. 30 points to 12. And I really fancy to lose for some reason.
Did you?
I thought they've sort of come from nowhere this year to be back in sort of the Champions Cup giants, you know, like the European giants that they always used to be. I thought with Chisholm, Colby, DuPont, Huger, Ramos, you know, they've got a big old pack as well. I thought this
Leinster
might
just,
be it.
Leinster but just do it. They just do it.
I know
do
they
it,
do. I know they do. And they find ways of winning. They've got some phenomenal players. There was talk about James Lowe not starting because of Gibson Park and Fardy. You know, there's only two of those three players can play, but Gibson Park was in just a Lowe played. And, you know, it's pretty important Lowe plays, I think. He's been Leinster's best player, I think, this year.
He's great.
You know, you look at the way he finished his try. Bezzy just sort of rides the tackle. He's really hard to get. He gets really low, puts all his weight forward. His legs are far back, so when you're trying to tackle him, you just can't get to his waist or his legs to grab hold of something, and he just gets round the outside. He's so difficult to stop. And a big lump as well.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a hella player.
Yeah.
I mean, he's great. How good was Kieran Healy as well?
Just gets better and better. Was good. Fardy was brilliant at six as well.
Fardy was so good.
Yeah, but it just, the partnerships work. McGrath, Sexton, Henshaw, Ringrose, Carney at
15. They're going for a fifth.
I know. You know, they nilled Toulouse with tries. Toulouse didn't score any. Ramos was pretty average, actually, for Toulouse. I know I've just mentioned him as being one of their best players, but he wasn't the greatest. And Colby, Chesson Colby, was really quiet.
Mm.
You know, not that he needs to be busy, but from past games and form, you'd think he'd be all over that game. But, you know, that's down to Leinster as well, keeping him quiet. But, I mean, how are you going to call this final?
Oh, there's only one winner.
Saris.
Don't know.
If I had a bet on it, and I sometimes like a flutter, but I'm obviously very sensible when I do bet, I am going to go Saracens. I think they're too well oiled, too well drilled.
I think they make
too little errors.
Both very well drilled, but I think they've got a lump more power. I think Michael Rhodes is a bull. Billy Vunipola, Mako.
Cruz, Otoji.
Vincent Cock, when he's in good form, he's a beast. Mind you, so is Tig Furlong.
Mako, Skelton off the bench as well.
Yeah,
biggest bloke I've ever seen on a field. Okay, so there we are.
There's the Saracens, we're back in it.
Saracens, European champions.
Yeah.
Got a busy week, or are you all right?
Fella boy, I'm going up to Leicester tomorrow to do a Land Rover shoot with Ellis Genge.
Of course you are.
Better be cool, that.
Yeah, be nice.
That'd be cool. Then I'm hosting the Roast Beef Club lunch on Friday at the Hurlingham Club in
Love that. You just cheated on Fulham. Pork though, didn't you?
Yeah, boy. I'm a sod. And then I'm off to Worcester Sunday, boy.
Oh, okay, nice. I'm going to judgment day. Done. I'm going to judgment day on Saturday.
How's that then?
That is.
It'll be good.
Yeah, be all right. It's a two Welsh derby, so you've got
two
Scarlets and the Dragons, and you've got the Blues Ospreys. And I mean, let's fire into some questions actually before we go, because I did say we'd answer as many questions as we can. So the Blues and the Ospreys are looking for that final place in the Champions Cup. So whoever wins that game will go into a playoff against possibly the Scarlets or Edinburgh in the other conference. So we potentially could have no Welsh teams in the European Championship next year. Let's hope not.
Awkward, but they can call it a rebuilding phase, can't they?
What, after winning the Grand Slam?
Yeah. That's a good point. It's a really good point.
Thomas Davies wants to know, after the All Blacks, who do you consider second favourites at the World Cup?
England, obviously.
Yeah, I'll go with
everyone
that.
Everyone does.
I don't think that, but I like it when Wales are underdogs. I like it when they slip through, going unnoticed. Okay. I think Wales, but you know, publicly, I'm going to say England, even though this is a podcast.
Okay, fella.
Who invented the skip?
Was it MJ Church? No, I don't know.
How does Sarri stay under the salary cap? We've talked about that, about Nigel Ray investing in players.
Do we have to do that now?
No, we don't. No. Who do you think would be a good fit for Bath now that Todd Backhead is leaving?
Is well, Stuart Hooper's DOR.
Is he?
Yeah.
Okay, it looks like Luke Charteris might be forwards coach or lineup coach.
Lineup coach.
Yeah.
Yep.
Same thing, really.
Like that. And then, you know, just
you know,
my view is that they need a big time head coach to come in there and run the coaching team, because Stuart Hooper is a hell of a guy, but he hasn't done that job before. So, not the head coach, hasn't been a DOR before. So, he needs great coaches, I think. So, that's the most important appointment. That
what's going to happen if things don't go wrong? We saw that London Irish, didn't we?
If things don't go right, you mean?
Yeah.
Well, he needs help. He needs support. And he's, you know,
That's easy to say. He needs help and support. But if it's a big job for, I know at some stage he's going to have to do it, but you don't want to see him being lost in the system.
No, you don't. That's why he needs a great head coach. For me, he needs a senior mentor that he spends a lot of time with, who probably isn't at the club full-time, but is in contact with Stuart Hooper full-time. Some good assistant coaches have come up, Mark Lilly and Ryan Davis from the academy. And they had a good couple of senior coaches, Gervin Dempsey, Luke Charteris, Neil Hatley is rumoured to be coming back. So, you know, you've got a decent coach there, but I think you need a big head coach, a senior mentor, and you need to give him time. He's also got a much bigger budget than Nick Kennedy had, so let's not forget that. Nick Kennedy was chucked in on his own with a few million quid less per season to spend, from what I understand. So, and then blame for it not going right. So I think Stuart Hooper ought not to be treated like that, and I expect he won't be.
Well, that was from Tom Stranks. And
Stranksy.
Yeah, and it was also from Damien Jekyll.
Oh, right.
On the only platform I'm reading off at the moment, which is Twitter.
Well done.
Do you think Gath Anscombe should play this weekend?
Tom.
Now, that is from Phil Reardon Smith. Now, Gath Anscombe, he's going to Ospreys next year. I'm signing for the Ospreys. I'm a little bit disappointed he's not stayed at the Blues, but that's down to him, and he's a 10. So, you know, you've got to form partnerships with players, and he's not really going to form any with Wills Hulahulu and Ray Lilo. But, you know, you might form partnerships with Scott Williams at the Ospreys, and that might boost his chances of playing regularly for Wales. Should he play this Saturday? He's asking that because if the Blues win, they go into the playoff chance to get the seventh spot in Europe. If they lose, the Ospreys go through. So that's what he's asking. But yeah, he should play.
Okay.
I think you put that aside, you're still part of the Blues.
Yeah.
Okay,
boy.
Yeah. Do you think it's possible for an NFL player to make a switch to rugby? Or is it a too technical game? That's happened in the Sevens for America. The name is
Cardin Isles.
Yeah, someone else though as well, linebacker. So they
unlikely.
Are doing it.
But unlikely for me, lad.
Why don't referees ref the ruck? That's from Stephen Evans. They do ref the ruck, but people have different opinions. It's subjective, so it's very difficult for consistency, as we've seen throughout yellow cards, through red cards, through what's deemed as a high tackle, what's not deemed as a high tackle.
I do think it's particularly bad at the moment, though. The breakdown is absolute carnage.
Yeah.
Everyone's doing what they want.
Mm.
Yeah. Off their feet. Everyone's off their feet the whole time.
Yeah.
That's what I'd say to you.
It's going to be difficult to tidy that up. It's always been a mess, really. Do you think start pinging more players going for ball, jacking for the ball?
Yeah,
you know, like we had the argument about Toby Flood.
More cleaner outers going off their feet. Mm. Be harsher on jackalers supporting their own body weight.
Yeah. It's quite difficult to do that, though, isn't it?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think you've got to try something, because at the moment it's just a complete lottery, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's starting to feel like a lottery. That's
if you had 100 million, this is from Cherry Brown, probably the chubby brown, Royston Vasey. If you had 100 million to invest in rugby, where would you invest? Prem, Champ, Academy.
Prem.
B, Six Nations, Lions.
Oh, right. Well, the Prem is Academy because every Prem club's got an Academy. So you invest in Academy, you're investing in the Premiership. Probably Six Nations because you get seen the most. Lions because you've only got to do any work 1 year in four and you get a really good holiday out of it.
Pro 14.
Yeah, but he knows. He knows no one wants to.
Give him an option, mate. Not even an option.
He knows.
Should Gatland be the next England manager? That's for you, Flats.
Not going to happen.
You don't think so?
No.
Okay. We have to talk about Simon Hammerschmidt. He's got a question. You remember him? Remember Simon Hammerschmidt?
Yeah, I remember him, all right. God. Weirdo.
Always tweeting, always texting. Hi, what are you up to?
He's a weirdo.
Yeah.
Isn't he? I like him, though.
Nigel Melville. Yeah, love him. Nigel Melville suggested that Leicester's international star should not abandon ship and could still play for England in the event of relegation.
Newcastle.
Can the RFU pick players from the Championship? They can, can't they?
Pick what they want, as far as I'm aware.
Yeah. They're not going to go down, though, are they?
No, I was wondering about Mark Wilson. I put it on Twitter earlier. Does Mark Wilson stay if Newcastle go down? Interesting one, that. If you think about it, if he goes to the World Cup, he's away till November. He probably won't play until December. So he's got a few months to play. They'll cruise it in the champs. So he might, as it's December, the Six Nations isn't that far away. So it's not like you'd just count him out because he's been in the Championship for 7 or 8 weeks. You'd probably still consider him. And then by the time the next tournament comes around, they're not in the Championship anymore. So I reckon he could still play for England from the champs.
Yeah, possibly. That's what I reckon. You're not going to get that level of intensity that you get in the big games because it's going to be far too easy for him. There's a massive step up between...
Massive. Yeah. Yep.
That's massive, that's, but I do worry. Think... You know, everything would be far too easy for him at that level.
Yeah, but look what a beast he is. I reckon he'd come back up and deliver. That's what I reckon. I reckon he's a trainaholic. Look at his triceps.
We've got two more, right? Rob Sherrington. Just talking about disappointing turnout over the weekend at the Rico. Why do you think that is? What could be done to change? Should hosting the semi-finals be pre-planned? Like the final to maximise crowds and revenues?
Yep.
Okay.
I think it should. Also, to that end, it just does seem a bit something not quite right about Leinster always playing in Dublin.
Yeah, at the Aviva. I mean, whether it's the Aviva or the RDS, it's...
See, I reckon they'd win anyway most of the time, but it's just a question mark that no one will care 10 years from now. But right now, I think it's a bona fide oddball thing, odd thing.
Yeah, I mean, why can't you have both semi-finals at the same place as the final?
Yeah, could do that, couldn't you? Mm. Or just have both semi-finals somewhere in a country where you know no one's going to have a home game, like Wales. They're never going to get to the semi-finals of Europe. So
I think
it
possibly the semi-final should be in the same place as well, just so there's absolutely no bias there.
Mm.
Wayne Smith, this is it now, mate. Possibly boring, so you've already lost me there. How many hours do you guys spend out on the training field per week against how many today's pros do? Not just weights, ball in hand, enjoy an actual game.
I wonder if we didn't spend a bit more. So I think training's getting smarter as it gets older.
Yeah, I think it's getting more intense. I think it's getting shorter. And, you know, before you'd just wander from drill to drill. You'd hang around for a bit. But I think you're right. I think these days it's just short and sharp. It's possibly an hour on the field, but much more intense.
Yeah.
I would also suggest that there's probably more guys possibly doing... more extras, spending more time on the field.
They're in better nick.
Yeah.
They definitely are.
Better nick. 100% in better nick.
They're more professional. They're in better nick. They're better athletes.
Yeah. There is more sort of science behind it now, and there's more tests which are being used. You know, you're looking at heart rate and GPS and body fat. You know, so there's no hiding anymore.
Equally, 10 years from now, these lads will look a bit, yeah.
You can't yesterday's have, a, you news can't have like an aerobic game. Can you just hang on the wing for a bit because you're knackered, like I did today?
Yeah, exactly. You can't do it.
No. Come. All right, here we are. All right, our lad.
All right, fella boy.
Yeah.
Well done. Yeah. Well done, boy. Yeah, you're a good kid.
Yeah.
Take care of that knee, yeah?
You're all right, LaRusso. You're all right.
You're all right. Cheers, fella. Cheers, boy.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.